in God in all manner of things. She's got no husband. She has lost her sons. I mean, she's a woman alone, except with two women who aren't of her family, except by marriage. Mostly also that they're Moabite women. They are not Israelites. They were not from Judah or the land of Judah. They were godless as far as Moabites went. Okay, they served idols, man-made idols. So, to return. Now, there was a huge study on this at this point in all my resources. They talked about the word return. Now, it has its numbers in Strong's, and it's H7725. And it literally means, and we're talking about return. You know what return means. I'm going to return home. I'm going to return this item that I bought because I didn't like it. I'm going to give it back. I'm going to proceed back to where it was. I'm going to return. That's what we think. What it means in this instance, it's a simple word, but it means so much. It means to turn back to God. Now, that's what the word means, and it's used in a number of instances throughout, and we're going to talk a lot about words today, which you know I like to do. It means to repent and turn back from evil. You see how that would work? So, to return from the country of Moab. Did Moab know God? Does Israel know God? Who are the chosen people of God? Land of Israel. Moab served idols. So do you see the word where that can come in now? She's leaving because she had, okay, the God was putting a judgment on Israel for their disobedience. We deserve it, right? Don't we deserve to be corrected when we're wrong and we choose ourselves over God? He put a famine in the land, okay? They seem to have repented and come back to God. She left with her husband because they needed food, all right? Now, God has put food back in the land. God has visited, and we'll talk about that. So she has turned back. She is going to return from the country of Moab. Not only is she going to go back to her homeland, but it's a repentance of evil and sinful nature. It's to turn back from that and to return to God. And so it's a beautiful picture, and I hope I've explained it enough. You know, bad country, good country. Go there to be fed, left bad country, go back to the good country. I'm returning. Not only is it a bad country, but man, I lived there and I'm repenting from my sins because they worshiped idols. So it means to turn back from evil, to go back to God. And the way this is used, it's used quite a bit in our Bible. Now, God provided food, once again, in Israel. Who did? God did. Did a statue made of wood provide food for Israelites? Did any kind of metal or precious gold figurine or leaf of anything or any kind of sculpture made out of precious metals provide food? No. We know that the living God is the only one that can do such a thing. It's God's sovereignty, God's love for his people, God's care. You know, I mean, and right off the bat, if she had this in her heart to return and repent from being in this country, I see Naomi thinking about God all the time. She's got that sovereignty. She understands that God is sovereign and he cares for us and he loves us. Needed to be punished? I did. Absolutely, they did too. Found a way, and now she's done here and going back to the one who provides. God provides his care, his supreme in power. He is supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion. We're just going to remind ourselves, because I think if God is, we understand the word repent and what Jesus did for us, he should be on our heart all the time. So we need to be thinking about this as we walk through our days. We need to let that Holy Spirit that lives within us work in our hearts. If we keep putting a wall around it, we're not going to hear it, because I want to do this and I need to do that. I'm going to make that decision. Me, me, me. God is just going to let us make mistakes until that breakdown of the heart happens. And you really realize that he is the one who created everything. Sovereignty. And not only that, but he loves us. So let's remind ourselves, supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as a sovereign ruler of the entire universe, everything he's made, his supreme power and his right as God to rule everything. That's sovereignty. That's exactly what sovereignty means. Providence, the Webster's 1828, now means the act of providing or preparing for future or use of application. Straight up. In theology, providence means the care and superintendence, the management or arrangement of an activity or organization, which God exercises over his creatures. In other words, let's put it here, he that acknowledges the creation and denies a providence involves himself in a palpable contradiction, for the same power which caused a thing to exist is necessary to continue his existence. Okay, we need God. He caused us to exist and he will continue us. Okay, and he has that right because why? He's sovereign. So all this goes together. We will see and hear, and sometimes we may even struggle with this on our own, some persons admit a general providence but deny a particular providence, not considering that a general providence consists of particulars. We got to remember that, okay? So a belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men, okay? Not to men, to good men. By divine providence is often understood as God himself. So, by divine providence, listen to the words, the Lord had visited his people and given them food. By his providence, he has ended that famine. Judgment is over at this point. Now, you can't get around studying or anything without AI going, here's what I think of what you just said. Okay? And you put in certain words and they read some of the things that come up, even from their own commentaries. So listen to this. And I'm just prefacing AI. His providence is the purposeful application of that sovereignty, actively working out his wise plans and goals in the world and in individual lives, using means or working without them, because he is God, to bring about his ultimate purpose, even though events he permits. Okay? So this is bringing about his ultimate purpose through events he permits. Did he bring the famine into Israel? Is he doing that for a reason? Judgment. His providence. People need to be corrected. I need to be corrected. If you're not going to correct me, I'm going to keep doing the same thing wrong. Okay? So sometimes we're stubborn and we really need to be corrected. And meaning it hurts. But God loves us. God's sovereign. And he cares about us. So all this put together is from the words, I'm doing all this because the Lord visited his people and had given them food. We need to understand that. His purposes. His providence, his sovereignty, he's caring about us, he's teaching us, he is with us every moment. He's sovereign, we're not. You know, she wants to go home. She's from Israel. She's living in a Canaanite, or a Moabite country, just full of idols and recklessness and without God. But she had to eat. So she has a pull. Now, I mean, wouldn't you think? I mean, her life is kind of a wreck, it seems like. Her husband died. Her boys died. She's alone, except for the two Moabite women that married their sons. Now, who knows how long they were married? Didn't mention any kids, none of that. All right, the boys were sickly. That's what their names meant, sickly. And so she's alone with these two girls, these two women. So she's yearning for home, maybe going back, most especially since the judgment of the famine is over. There's food to be had. Who knows where she was living? A lot of the stuff I read, like, it seems as though a lot of the Israelites that went to Moab during this time were living in fields. It's not like they were living in their cities and full of, you know, commerce and things like that. They were like nomads pitching tents in the fields. This is some commentary said that. So not an easy life. You know, you pitch a tent a mile away from water, that's a long haul for water. Just thinking about it. So, you know, she hears that home has been visited by God. Matthew Henry says, while she couldn't stay in it while there was a famine, meaning their home, Israel, could not stay in it while there was a famine, she would not stay out of it when the famine had ceased. And I like that. You know, she's being drawn back. She's repentant. She's coming home. Okay? He goes on to say, though the country of Moab had afforded her shelter and supply in a time of need, yet she did not intend it should be her rest forever. No land should be that but the Holy Land. Her rest forever, her forever rest, in which the sanctuary of God was, of which he had said, this is my rest forever. Psalm 132:14 says, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Here we see God's superintending grace on behalf of Naomi and Ruth. You've repented. You've decided to come back. I'm going to show you my grace. Who needs grace? Yeah. Yeah. Who needs grace all the time? Every day? Yeah. Okay? He's a good God. But he's not going to let us get away with it. Does that make sense? You know, we have to be held accountable for the decisions that we make, the choices of our heart, wrong or right. You know, when you make more right choices than wrong choices, we're growing. When you feel God pushing you one way and saying, but I really want to do this, and you choose the way of God, we're growing. And that's what we want to do. We want to grow. We want that old self to be torn away, no matter how hard it is. You know, when you feel that pull, ooh, Jeff's way really is strong, but boy, God's way is pulling me different. That repentant heart, that changed person, that's where we go. That's what we want. He is sovereign. He's done something to make you see this. He's working around us all the time, every day. I often think the other day I was like, what instances of growth throughout my day have I missed? You know what I mean? Maybe a conversation you might have had with somebody or whatever, whatever. Just think back on your day and go, what did I miss? And maybe he'll bring something to light that, it wasn't for naught. Maybe in your prayer time at night before bed or whatever. Just go back over your day sometime and because I always need to ask for forgiveness for my day. So in that time, maybe he can, when I'm less involved, more comfortable, at peace, maybe I can hear him then and see what I missed. So Naomi was drawn to go back home. We've decided that, okay? To be her complete and forever dwelling place, give her rest, that very rest that we have, knowing who and where we're going, who we are in Christ and where we're going. We're going to have that complete and beautiful rest. When we stand before God, it might be a long day. You know, when Christ is in, when Jesus is sitting in the judgment seat, I know it's going to be a long day for me, but we will have that complete, perfect rest. So to have this Israelite woman lose everything, I don't know about you guys, but I would have been pretty broken and defeated and, maybe not have my eyes or heart or ears open to hear and see God. But we understand that superintending grace that he has comes to us every day, all the time. Just going back to, it says, the verse says, the Lord had visited his people. Well, I'm his people. You are his people. We're his people. So just to remind us that it's no shortage in the Bible of when he does this. I'm just going to run through a few verses. Genesis 21:1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had said. She became pregnant after all this time at 90 years old. Shall my Lord really make me pregnant when I'm, beyond that time? Yes, the Lord had visited her. Genesis 50:25. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. They did that. When they marched out of on the Exodus, they brought Joseph's bones with him. God had visited his people. Exodus 3:16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me in saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. He came and he visited those people. Our God. Finally, Exodus 4:31, and the people believed And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped. All these things, you know, was up on the mountain. And God was telling Moses, and Moses was telling Aaron, and then Aaron told the people, and the people believed that the God of their fathers had visited him. Even in the New Testament, Luke 1:68, blessed be the Lord, our God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. God loves us. He's going to give us every chance we can get. He's going to be gracious and patient. And then there's us. So I ask, like Naomi, that we have a soft heart and have eyes and ears to hear, that we may miss stuff throughout the day. And it's forgivable, but to look for it. So God, in this point, when he had visited his people and brought them food back from the, you know, stopped the famine, he had visited his return. God at last returned in mercy to his people and fed them. Naomi then returned in duty to her people. And note for this is a Matthew Henry quote, a forced absence from God's ordinances and forced presence with wicked people are great afflictions. Yes, it's tough. But when the force ceases and such a situation is continued of choice, then it becomes a great sin. If he's given us a way to get out and we choose to stay in the mass destruction where we're at, and we know that he's given us a way out, I'm looking at the cross. It's a great sin to not choose that, is what Matthew Henry is saying. Does that make sense? So she doesn't stay. She giddy up and got out. You know, because she gave them food. God gave them food, not she. God gave them food. And we got to understand this. This is a tangible thing. Food is tangible, all right? And this is called a temporal gift. The word, 1828 Webster's, pertaining to this life or this world, or the body only, secular as temporal concerns and temporal affairs. The things that are happening here and now, tangible things that we can see in this body. And in this, does that make sense? In this life. This was a temporal gift for the famine was ended. We need food. We need the substance. And he's giving this as a gift. Some things to remind us. And again, Old Testament, Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. Thank you. Thank you, God. Deuteronomy 11:14, he will give the rain for your land in its seasons, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. Thank you. Waters us, waters our earth to provide fruit for us. Psalm 127:2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Even while we sleep, he's giving us temporal gifts because he loves us so much. We need that sleep. We need that rest. He's a good God. Amen. Finally, Psalm 136:25, who gives food to all the flesh, his loving kindness is everlasting. He's going to outlive you. But in your whole life, that kindness that he shows us, like sustaining us while we sleep, he's always at work in our hearts. Man, we got to open our eyes, huh? In this sense, it is opposed to spiritual, okay? Temporal gift versus a spiritual gift. This is all temporal that I talked about. Let not temporal affairs or employments divert the mind from spiritual concerns, which are far more important. Now, I believe that Naomi, yes, food was a part of it, but her heart, her spiritual side of her, wanted to be home where God lived. She's an amazing woman. Verse 7, so she did what? She set out from the place where she was, which was Moabite, with her two daughters-in-law. They went the way to return to the land of Judah. Understand this word, she set out. Those four words in the ESV are all one word in Hebrew. Okay? King James Version says, wherefore she went forth out. And I'm really learning to love the Old English. Wherefore she went forth out. It's like a 12-string guitar in words. Okay? It's just beautiful. Anyway, even wherefore she went forth out is all one word in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. It says to go or come out, literally, go forth to a place, but with a purpose. Okay, you're going to go out and you're going and you're leaving, but you're leaving with a purpose or for a result. To go forward, to proceed to, toward, or the way the English say it, toward something. Now, put that in Naomi's shoes. Do you see where she's going? She's going back to where she came from, where God resides, not the idols. God has given them a temporal gift because the judgment is over. She is living she's in a bad way, but yet she has this faith and she's leaving this land to go back home towards something better because God has provided food for his people. It seems like an awful lot. I understand that, but that's how our Bible is. You know, they throw 7 or 10 words at you in a verse and you could talk all day because we want to understand. Okay. Now, this is one of the commentaries I use is written in the early 60s, Bible Knowledge Commentary, I've quoted before. It says, she turned away from Moab and the errors of the past. She turned her back on the tragic graves of her loved ones and headed back to Judah, her homeland. Okay? She's going home. God called her home. All right. But, verse 8, but Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. A lot, again, going on in just one simple verse. All right? First and foremost, she's a widow. They're a widow. Widows don't do well in this time, in this time frame, okay? A lot of times they're overlooked, ignored. Let me see. Being a widow is hard. They're taken advantage of. They're ignored. And most of them were poverty stricken. Okay, because they're on their own. You know, waiting tables, doing laundry, whatever it may take that they could do at that point in time. You know, I mean, she didn't have something to have. She didn't have a husband so she could have something on the side that made money. Like a Proverbs 31 woman, you know, it sounded like, to make her house and home. She was alone and struggling. A widow. In a bad spot, loss of her family. So understand this, that she's throwing them a lifeline, them meaning her daughters-in-law. You don't have to come with me. You don't have to struggle. You're young. You can remarry. You can marry your own kind, your own people, and you can start a life for yourself. You don't have to travel all this way to come with me. So she's being selfless here. It would be better if she walked into to go home in Israel, three bodies versus one to make a living, right? The three of them could work together and produce some sort of living, being that all three are widows. It would helped her to have the help. But she's saying, go make a life for yourselves. She was selfless. At this point, without the daughter-in-law, she was on her own, hardship for herself, three sets of hands versus one. They were younger, they were stronger versus middle-aged and older as she was. Naomi encouraged her daughters-in-law to go back and start their lives over. Okay? And she said to them, go return to each of you to your mother's house that the Lord may deal kindly with you. And here is a petition of prayer. She's praying for them for good things in their lives. That he may deal kindly. Now, this word is amazing. Kindly. So here, understand this. She's giving them an out. It's a selfless act on her own. We need to be more like that, don't we? You know, we need to be selfless. and think of others before ourselves. And that's what she's doing here. And then not only did she say, here's an out for you, but she prayed for them. And not only prayed for them, but she prayed for them in a way that is begging the Lord to deal kindly with these women. The word kindly in Hebrew is chesed, H-E-S-E-D. H-2617 in the Strong's Dictionary literally means goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Doesn't seem to mean a lot, but in the verses that they're used, you take this goodness, this kindness, and the faithfulness, it appears 248 times in 241 verses. This type of verb, hesed, all right? It means, like I said, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, but it in the verse context of 149 verses, it means mercy. In the context of 40 other verses, it means kindness. 30 verses, loving kindness. 12 verses, kindness or goodness. In the way it's used here, in this verse, it's only used 5 times. And it means merciful. So she's praying for merciful love from the Lord for these women. Goes on, favor means in 3 times, good once, goodliness once, pity once, reproach once, and wicked thing once. In the King James Version, kindly and truly is how it's used. Genesis 24:49. Again, let's see how this is used. Where you see they were searching for a wife for Isaac. All right. And the same kindly is being used here. When in Genesis 47:29, they buried Israel with his fathers and not in Egypt. He's like, if you have deal kindly with me. Let me do this. This might take a little bit, but too bad. It's worth it. So you hear the same context in these verses. 24:49. I read so much this morning and I think I filled my head full of all kinds of things. 24:40 says, now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right or to the hand, right hand or to the left hand. This is, let me get it right, Abraham's servant looking for a wife for his son Isaac. And he is speaking to when he was getting water at the well. Okay? So God is using the same word here, this truly and loving kindness, that I may turn to the right or left. I hope that makes sense. And let me give you a couple more, because this word is deep, has so many deep meanings, and it just draws you so close to God, and you want to cry, or at least I did when I was reading this. All right, Genesis 47:29. The famine happened all throughout the world, and this is about Joseph. Okay, and when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Okay, this was said by Israel. This was said by Abraham. Okay, this verb, or this word, this adverb using kindly, deal kindly with me. In Joshua, oh, this is a good one. You know why? Because this ties it all together. Listen to this. Joshua 2:14. I'm all excited and I'm not there. Okay. I want to read the whole thing, but we don't have time. 2:14, I'm going to pick it up in verse 10. You know, I might just end it here. Listen to this. We're talking about the verb kindly, and then we're talking about reaching back and how this whole thing ties together. Joshua 2, this is where Rahab hides the spies. Okay? And Joshua sent the son of Nun to send the two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, go view the land, especially in Jericho. And they went and they came into the house of the prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you and who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I do not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order to the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them, this is Rahab, on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and when you came out of Egypt, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. This is Rahab talking, who's a prostitute, not an Israelite. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt with you, what? Kindly. With you, you also will deal what? Kindly. With my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And then the men said to her, if you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will do what? Deal kindly and faithfully with you. That's how the word is used. Okay. And she's using the same word, praying for these two women. Now, so Judah, one of the 12, the lion, married a woman named Tamar. There's a whole story behind that, who had Perez. Judah had Perez. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Ram. Ram had Amminadab. Amminadab had Nashon. Nashon had Salmon. Salmon marries who? Ruth, who we just read about, and has who? Boaz, a character that's coming up in this story. Boaz then had a child with, spoiler alert, Ruth, named him Obed. Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had King David. Deal kindly with us. Let me read this. It speaks of God's covenant loyalty to his people. It involves grace in that it was extended even when it was not deserved. Here, divine will and human action went hand in hand. Both God and humans were doers of chesed. The basis of Naomi's blessing was the gracious action of Ruth and Orpah to their husbands and to Naomi. Okay, so these two women showed great grace to Naomi through God. Both young women were worthy in the eyes of their mother-in-law, so she wanted God to be good to them. Though they were foreigners, they had married Israelite men and thus were under God's covenant. This is a comment out of Bible Knowledge Commentary. So these people were important, and this word was important. Then Naomi prayed for them, even though she was in dire straits herself. Note the selfless act that she showed. Boy, if we could just be like this, huh? If we could live our lives selflessly like that, taking and thinking of other people before ourselves. I mean, she was in a bad way, but yet she said, I want more for you. Don't worry about me. She was going home. That's what that word means. And it's kind of neat that in these verses prior to this, the word was used so many times, most especially in the line of the Messianic King, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray.